When you were watching,
why is nobody surprised?
I know, we're just like, and that is
when you were watching the Elvis ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw Priscilla Presley up there.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me that you didn't think the Joker, Jack Nicholson.
Wow.
With that big smile, that big sort of painted on smile.
I don't know if that's an insult to her personally or her makeup artist is now being fired as we speak.
It could be. I mean, her smile looked like it went slightly to the left of her head to slightly beyond the right side of her face.
You got a Picasso profile.
Yeah. It was rather long and thin. And then in the middle, she had the big lips.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, this is Tom Mills, H.R. Harmer Stamp Auctions. You're listening to the podcast for a stamp show here today.
Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
Okay, welcome to Stamp Share Here Today, episode number 43. I'm sitting here with Scott, Kaz, Jeff, and Don, and I'm your host, Jessica. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Share Here Today, and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, and Stitcher. Let's talk about stamps.
Didn't they already say stamp collecting happens when we dream together?
Yeah, and his sounds better than yours.
Much better.
I think he wins that tagline.
Yeah, they're
absolutely.
Oh, well. You're out of here, Cash.
So first, I'd like to welcome our Periscope viewers. Hi.
Hi.
Who are frantically typing in questions as we speak. And apologize for the audio quality. It's going to be a little rough this time, but we'll get it next time.
So this isn't a one-time thing? This is...
we're going to make you do it again.
We'll see how it goes. We will post a link to the video on our show notes for this episode, and if our listeners let us know if they enjoyed it or not, or at least had a good laugh, we can post some more. So this week we'll be talking about stamp news and Elvis sighting, hashtag stamp stories at StampshowHT, and our expert topic of the week is postage dues. So stamp news, Elvis lives again. This week on August 12th at Graceland Mansion, Tennessee, Postmaster General Megan Brennan and former wife Priscilla Presley unveiled the new Elvis Forever stamp.
That was yesterday.
Hold on, what did you call her?
Sure was.
What did you call her, former wife?
Former wife.
I got my press sheet in the mail today.
Yeah, so did I. Well, I picked them up.
So it's a really nice looking stamp, isn't it?
It's okay.
It's got some gold.
No, I think it's great. I think they did a really great job. I like the, I said already.
I think Elvis fans will really like it.
Yep. Except they said this is the second Elvis stamp, and actually it's the third Elvis stamp.
Yeah, well.
Why is it the third?
Well, because you have different formats for the first one. You have a sheet stamp and you have a booklet paint stamp.
Only stamp collectors would know that, though.
That's probably true.
And only stamp collectors would care.
Yeah. So the first day ceremony and event was hosted by Kevin Kern, the director of public relations of Presley Enterprises, on the grounds of the historic Graceland Mansion, just as it had been done 22 years prior for the first /second Elvis stamp.
Yeah, which is it?
The first one, the booklet paints were later.
Oh, okay.
Quentin R. Smith, the pastor at the historical First Baptist Church of Millington, gave an invocation and prayer to begin the event after the presentation of the color guard and singing of the national anthem. And then the 74th Postmaster General, Megan Brennan, gave the main speech honoring America's most famous musician and singer. She also explained that the artwork comes from a picture of the king taken in 1955 in Memphis at the Speer Studio. Does anyone know where that is? Anyone been there?
No, but I have been to Graceland.
Oh.
Maybe it's in like Spears, Georgia.
No, Memphis. It's
in Memphis.
It's in Memphis.
Spears, Alabama. Spears Street.
There.
In spearmint gum? I don't know.
So the picture was taken a year after he recorded his first single, and it's meant specifically to show the very young face of the man that first captured the hearts of Americans who
I
took the nation
like
by
American
storm.
I think that's more like American women.
Yes. Well, are you just the guys who's kind of standing there looking cool and tapping their foot, you know, rocking their heads?
No, make guys go, oh, crap, I got to compete with that.
The portrait is accompanied by a signature and a crown of gold. The crown is situated between the words forever and U.S. to emphasize his lasting legacy and American heritage. The stamp was unveiled by Meghan, as well as the daughter of the king. It's actually not the daughter, sorry. The former wife, Priscilla Presley. Does that make her a queen?
If he's the king, right?
Well, I still don't know what... Oh, well, never mind. I'll let it go.
The unveiling was followed by a speech given by the mayor of Shelby County, who emphasized the impact that Elvis had on our country, including our culture and history of our music. He reminded us that Elvis indeed does still live, and that his music still plays every day all over the world, and he is honored on a regular basis in such colorful places as Las Vegas, shows where Elvis impersonators can be found in every corner.
And
yay!
And Santa Ana, California, where we play it on the beginning of a podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Once a week.
I hear that song a lot.
And car insurance commercials.
Which one?
The Lack of Good Neighbor, Say Farm Reserve.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lack of Good Neighbor, Stay Farm is there.
There we go.
That was passable. Talents that I didn't know you had.
Oops.
He does pretty good voices. And also, Stitch is a big Elvis fan. Give us your Stitch Elvis impersonation.
Stitch.
What word
those
was
Stitch
that?
Don't go
Elvis.
Together.
I know, but remember, the whole movie is about him and Elvis.
Yeah. Yes.
There's a Velvet Elvis. Just say Stitch loves Elvis, like Stitch.
Stitch loves Elvis.
There we go.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
So, I know Cash viewed a little bit of it. Were you impressed by the pomp and circumstance surrounding this?
Oh, a bit. I was, Priscilla Presley's smile was what really got me. It seemed to start slightly before it hit her face, went across her face and off the other side. She had a very, very long smile drawn in. Otherwise, it was interesting. It was, you know, kind of the bureaucratic sort of pomp and ceremony that you sort of expect, except that at the end they did play a nice song. You know, I think that one was never released, or was it remixed, or...
Yeah, he has a new album coming out.
Posthumously.
Posthumously.
Posthumous would be something else.
So, yeah, go get his new album. I don't even know the name of it, but
I'm sure somebody
it'll be topping the charts soon.
Somebody will tell us what it is.
I'm sure.
I would be surprised if they didn't have a like the album for sale with a sheet of stamps very quickly, you know, as a sort of giveaway or an attached thing. It was also interesting collector's edition. It was interesting in the beginning because they said, how many people here are Elvis fans? And you hear, whoop, whoop, yeah. And then how many people here are stamp collectors? And it's like, whoop, whoop, yeah.
Of course, the little mouses. Yay. Hey, at least we were representing.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
It's a crossover topic, and that's why it's going to be popular.
Yeah.
I've never been to Graceland. Could you get that close to the property normally? Like, do they do tours and stuff inside the house?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Just curious, because I was wondering, is that unique that you get to be on the property? You always see pictures of the gates.
I would be
Everybody's
shocked
at the
if
gates.
You couldn't get in. Yeah.
So
if they didn't have some sort of tour set up.
They got to make money on it somehow.
Exactly.
Okay, so our hashtag Stamp Stories is actually going to be at Stamp Show HT this week. We are recording this episode days before we head off to the APS Stamp Show in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We would like to encourage our listeners to come and say hi and post pictures of their Stamp Show experience on our Twitter and Facebook feeds. I will be recording interviews if you want to add your voice to our show and stop by booth number 547, or you can find me on the floor. If you can spare a few minutes and record for us, you will get a free Book of Secrets.
Ooh. Yeah, she'll be on the floor because we couldn't afford a hotel.
Yeah, I brought a sleeping bag and a pillow.
And her Hello Kitty.
Yeah, yep. Hello Kitty stuffed animal. So I'm geared to go. So please tweet us at StampShowHT, hashtag StampStories, or I think the opposite is true for Facebook. So let's see those pictures. So updates. Kaz, what updates do you have for us today?
I just have a little one. When we were talking about the Jenny card last week, we noted that we had gotten it from a what we said was a local stamp auction, and then Jeff said it was Siegel's.
It's local because I see their stuff all the time.
Yeah, I don't think Siegel is really, if you, Scott, if you're out there listening, we didn't refer to you as a local stamp auction. You're a little bigger than that. Other than that, I think that last podcast was really nice, and I'd listen to it again if you paid me.
Well, and we do have a question from last podcast. Cash kept on saying eunuch trade.
Yeah, you referred to the eunuch trade catalog, and that's a really totally different topic.
I put a little k at the end of it. Oh, well. I know what eunuch trade is.
Yeah, but what's the eunuch trade catalog? Eunuch now I'm curious.
Well,
Don's just going, no. No.
Don't lead him into jokes you can't finish.
Is that like Game of Thrones or something?
Yeah, like, we're live here. I don't want to have to edit anything, right?
Anyway, it's Unitrade.
Unitrade.
Unitrade. Can you spell that for us, please, Cash?
No.
Okay, so our expert topic of the week is the history of postage dues.
Yay.
So postage dues were first used in the United States in 1879, and the last ones were printed in 1985. So I would have seen a couple of them as a child. Well, as an infant.
Small possibility, because they kept using them just when they last printed them.
Oh, that's true. They did print oodles and tons of them. So giving them a run of well over 100 years. So today we're going to talk about what they were and why they were made. So what exactly is a postage due stamp for those born after 1985?
It's actually a label, even though we call them stamps. And they don't, they're labels because they don't prepay postage. So they were used to indicate money due from the recipient or postage that wasn't paid and still needed to be collected.
Okay, so people would send stuff through the mail and it wouldn't have been paid for properly ahead of time. So to get it there, they would have to use that.
Right.
Sometimes. Yeah, there's other times like, you know, a large mailer like Reader's Digest.
Well, those are like business things.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, the postage due started in France in 1859 when they issued their first stamps. We didn't issue stamps until 1879. But anyway, later in the 1920s, they came out with a postage due bill, and that's where you had paid replied envelopes, and so you would send those out, and the ones that came back, the post office would charge you for, and the ones that didn't come back, you didn't have to pay for. So what they would do is, on a weekly or a monthly basis or whatever, you would go to the post office and pay your postage bill, and these reply envelopes would be bundled. And then on the top, there would be a bill, and they would apply the stamps to the bill. And that's how you got your postage due bill.
And sometimes the bills were rather large. You'd have like full sheets of $5 stamps.
Yes, and so it was also, in that sense, it was used as an accounting tool.
Yeah.
So that when the clerk accepted your $68 in payment, he pulled out $68 worth of postage due stamps, and he would cancel them even though he wouldn't necessarily affix them to the bill.
Cool. So is that at least one of the ways that they would do accounting and pay for the thing? They still do the envelopes now, but when it says no postage necessary if mailed in the United States, is that how they account for those once they go through the mail?
Well,
at
no,
least
now,
at one point.
Now they just put a little hand stamp on it, says you owe, and then they write in like 27 mm-hmm. cents or whatever it is.
Yeah, and now it's usually paid out of an account. Sometimes, depending on the company, it can be a prepaid mm-hmm. account or it can be a billable account. But yeah, no, they don't use postage due stamps anymore.
No, they have computers now. So it's
yeah.
like, here's,
yeah.
Here's your bill.
Coincidence,
at least
I think.
In the U.S.
Here's your bill.
At least in the U.S.
So as a child, here's what I did for postage due. I was short a penny on my postage, so I literally taped a penny next to the stamp and put it through the mail.
I've seen quite a few of those where people put pennies, nickels, dimes, whatever.
But they think they sent it back because it weighed too much.
Well, sometimes
it depends
on your carrier. I remember when I was little, if you did that, a lot of times the carrier would take the money off the envelope and replace it with a stamp.
Oh.
That was also a reason why you gave your postal carrier
a Christmas
nice
gift.
Christmas gift. Is because during the week, you know, something would come in at 5 cents postage due, and he just put it in there and pay it himself. And then at the end of the year, you kind of recoup him.
Oh, the thank you because the people that send me things are idiots gift.
Yes.
It's like tipping your paper boy at the end of the year because you don't want him to keep throwing your newspaper in the bushes.
Or right in front of your sprinkler system.
or where the dogs been.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, same kind of idea.
Wow. You just gave me a terrible picture in my head.
Yeah. I hope you don't own a Great Dane.
Oh, I used to. Oh.
So anyway, postage due stamps are generally utilitarian, basically used in the country of origin. They're not used outside. So like if you sent a letter to England, it wouldn't have the postage due stamps of the United States on it. Would have postage due stamps of England on it, because the postage due stamps are applied at the post office before the letter goes out for delivery, even though the originating post office is responsible to properly rate the letter, and that would be written on the letter. And so it would travel, and then before it goes out to delivery, they were responsible for collecting the money.
Interesting.
And
so little, oh, by the way, note written right on there. Okay.
Now, most postage due stamps are fairly utilitarian, mostly just like numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Not much else, although some countries, especially ones like that are in Africa, have started making postage due stamps that have designs and are attractive and things like that.
For the collector market.
Because they're for the collector yeah. market.
And
generally these shouldn't have been available as mint stamps to collectors, but the post office really didn't care as long as they got their money. So they were sold over the counter to collectors anyway.
It's not like you can mail something with it if it's not canceled.
Right. So, and different countries have different ways of expressing the words postage due. Like in the United Kingdom, it's to pay.
Okay.
Or in Austria, it would be porto.
Oh, I've seen that before. Okay. Now I know what those stamps
are. Oh, I've
seen
that overprinted on stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a small section here in this is philately, and it kind of gives a list of all the different, or most of the different phrases in different languages.
So what advances in technology were there in 1985 where they stopped using them?
The hand stamp. No, really, that's what did away yeah. with it, is the hand stamp.
Well, but those have been around for a while.
Also, they last printed them in 1985, but they were still in use into the 90s. But what they decided is if you short paid a letter, then they just started returning them. They changed the rules.
Oh, I see what you mean by hand stamp.
Change.
It was yeah. cheaper for the USPS just to give every post office one postage due rubber stamp.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of
with
keeping manufacturing
blank.
Paper.
Right. Yeah. With a little blank in it where they just filled in how much was due.
Oh, okay.
And
that
then
makes
when
sense.
And then when the stamps ran out, they just switched to returning letters.
It took them 100 years to figure out to use a rubber stamp?
Well, it's not just that. You have to look before the stamps were issued. Before,
but you're also looking at accountability of money in the clerk's drawer at the post office.
That's probably the number one reason. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The earlier, before we're talking pre-stamp issue or pre-stamp history, most letters were sent postage due. Especially unpaid. especially if you get into like the 1500s and the 1600s, because you never paid for a letter because you never knew if it was going to get through or not. There was the person would get it and they would pay the postage,
or they would refuse it and not pay the postage.
And then like we said last time, the postmaster got stuck because he delivered this letter, and all of a sudden it's like, oh great, what do I do now?
Well, and that's why the postage rates were so high, because they had to consider that there would be a percentage of letters that were carried that were not going to get paid for, too.
Yeah.
Ugh, the sixth letter from Aunt Edna this week. I'm not paying for that.
Or your mother-in-law.
Well, you know, I've heard stories.
You did have some people who were prepaying letters.
Yeah.
I mean,
they would be marked that way.
It would be rare, and you would have an envelope, and it would have the value, let's say, 12.5 cents. And then it would say, paid. Or it wouldn't say anything. If it didn't say anything, then it wasn't paid. So when it got to the other side, you had to give them 12.5 cents. And that's why in 1855, we made it compulsory that you had to put stamps on your letters. Because at that point, there was so much mail going through that they said, we can't screw with this anymore. Everybody has to put a stamp on a letter.
So you touched on it a little bit. Historically, what was going on prior to postage due stamps that made it where they were necessary? Why did they come up with them as stamps?
Probably mostly Scott's right, for accounting purposes.
Well, a lot of times you wouldn't necessarily – people wouldn't be sending their letters unpaid, but they would be short paid.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, instead of going to the post office and handing the letter to the clerk and having the clerk rate the letter and then paying the clerk, now you have people who are trying to figure out what the correct postage is.
Mm.
And you have a lot of different treaty rates and things like that. And so letters get short paid all the time. And so what they do is, now it gets to the post office and you're not there to pay for it, and you didn't put enough stamps on it, so they mark it postage due, send it on its way, and when it gets there, they collect it from the recipient just as they did before.
Yeah, there was no postage due before stamps. Because,
right, so what happens if you had a 1 ounce?
They come up and say, hey.
If you paid the 1 ounce rate and you had a 1.5 ounce letter, well, I mean, can you hold a letter in your hand and tell if it's 1.5 ounces or under an ounce? You know, that's a very small difference. Or can you tell the difference between 5 ounces and 6 ounces?
True.
Just by holding it in your
Absolutely
hand.
Absolutely not.
You can't. So,
or could you tell the difference between whether it was 300 miles away or 400 miles away?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, not knowing the postal routes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, you could count the number of sheets. And you could count how, you could figure how long it took you to ride a horse somewhere, but you might or might not get it right. And so that's why they have these postage due stamps, because it's an expeditious way to show that the accounting has been settled for these letters.
Now, I remember, I swear somebody told me at some point that another part of it had to do with the accountability of the postal clerk himself.
Well, yeah, you have
a
postal clerk,
make sure he wasn't being corrupt,
stamps, which obviously represent money, and then he has money, which he has sold stamps to get. So he's got money and stamps, which are money, in his possession. And so at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, he has to account for the value of his drawer.
Oh, okay. So I gave you 100 1 cent postage due stamps. It's the end of the day. You're missing 68. So there better be 68 cents
in your
extra
drawer.
In your cash drawer from those missing stamps.
Right. Exactly.
I could see them getting away with pocketing stuff before that.
Well, there's also kind of an anecdotal story that basically says, you know, the carrier would go out with a properly paid letter, and he would handwrite on there that it was due 3 cents or 2 cents or something like that. He would collect it from the recipient and put it in his pocket, and the post office wouldn't be any the wiser.
Wow, sneaky, sneaky.
He's tipping himself.
Yeah.
So I feel like I deserve more than
postage due stamps. Now, if those stamps aren't there, obviously it's properly paid.
Interesting. So it was a safeguard both ways.
Right.
So why are the designs so similar, and how can you tell them apart?
Yeah, there's only three, four designs over almost 100 stamps? Over 100 stamps. Years.
Five, but two of them are, one's a horizontal, one's a vertical format of the same
From the same answer. Series.
Yeah. Well, they're utilitarian. Mm-hmm. They weren't meant to be advertising your country's nationality or anything. They were basically instruments of accountability. And that's why they're just very basic, kind of all look the same. But just as in the Washington Franklin series, and you have differences in watermarks and perforations, you do have some shade differences scattered throughout. But for the most part, and you have the wet and the dry printings in the 50s and 60s for that series. So there are differences, and they can be avidly collected, but you assemble a page and one page looks just very similar to the next page.
Yeah, I've noticed
which is
that.
Why they're not, you know, people collect them, but they're
well,
not
that and they're
really
in the back
great.
Of the book.
Yeah.
Which means out of sight, out of mind.
I mean, airmail stamps have cool looking airplanes on them, and postage due stamps have the number 4.
Well,
yeah, but if you're an accountant and you love numbers.
1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 30, and 50 were generally the accepted designs, and then they expanded that slightly, added a $1 and a $5.
Wow, it just sounds so exciting when you say
it. I know.
Doesn't it though?
And then only with the last series did they actually add a whole lot of denominations.
Oh.
So I know that some of the values of these are shocking to me, since there are so many of them. But what can we attribute that value to?
I don't know what you're saying about there's so many of them.
There's a few that I'm just like, why is this 50 cent postage due worth so much?
There's a handful that break the $1,000 mark.
Well, yeah. But it's scarcity. You're talking in a time when 50 cents was a lot of money.
Well, it wasn't necessarily a lot of money, but it was a lot of money in comparison to a 3 cent stamp.
Yeah.
So picture what you would have to have mailed to get it wrong by 50 cents.
Yeah, that's a pretty egregious error.
You mean egregious.
Egregious.
It's not like you'd put you put 3 cents on and the rate was actually 53 cents because you're talking about, you know, a letter versus, you know, a crate full of chickens or something like that.
That's funny.
So,
okay,
so the high
sense.
Values are scarce, except when you get, you know, into the 1960s, 1950s, 1970s, where all of a sudden the high values just crash because they have, like we were saying before, full sheets.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy a full sheet of $5 stamps.
Well, when they changed the rules, canceled. When they changed the rules and went to these postage due bills, that's when you start to see large multiples of these high values used because they're paying an account, not paying for single items.
Right.
So since they're back at the book and they're stuck behind a lot of other stuff and they are really plain, how collectible are they? I mean, are they expensive just because they're rare, or are they hard to find because people actually collect them?
They are scarce, and so is the collector base. So if they were normal, general front of the book stamps,
they would be more expensive.
Way more expensive.
Huh.
But their similarity, you know, you hear a lot of people complain about the Washington Franklin series and how difficult it is to identify. Well, it's just the same with the postage dues because they all look the same and they're all the same color, and,
mm-hmm.
and all you have are perforation and watermark variety.
Yeah, they didn't change the design. They just changed the way, you know, the supplier where they got the paper from.
And they made new plates from the same dyes.
Yeah. Inks
when they
were
needed
different,
them.
You know.
Yeah, the inks changed.
Since these do have an end date of production, you could actually complete a set.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's true.
And some collectors like being able to complete something.
Absolutely.
That's one reason I like airmails. I'm just missing a couple. Otherwise, they're done. I mean,
well,
ducks and airmails. People like completion, really concentrate on ducks and airmails.
There's also special delivery. There's other special delivery. Yeah. Parcel post is another one. It's a very small set.
Parcel postage due. That's a really short one.
There you go.
Certified mail. I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Special handling.
Registered
mail. White stamp.
But, you know, it's all good, but these stamps were, like I said, were utilitarian. So again, along with that, they didn't pay a whole lot of attention to production values. And as a result, grading as far as quality for these stamps is pretty tough. Yeah. They're a lot of times they're small margined and not necessarily, they didn't pay attention to quality.
Yeah, if you want to see the extreme example of that, look at official seals in the back. This is, they wanted something other than tape to show that it was done. So they printed these things with every sort of ratty paper, ratty
perforations,
whatever it was. I mean, the first ones were like, ooh, look at what we made. And then everybody said, why the hell did you put that much time into it?
That's funny.
Yeah, and it's a great collecting area. Like you said, it's completable. And that makes it attractive. But there's, and what I've seen is when the economy kind of gets tough and prices go up, a lot of times people will turn to an area of the book that they haven't paid attention to because it's smaller and there's items in there that they can afford. And there are a lot of affordable postage due stamps.
Yeah,
and
there are.
So that's when you see areas like that sort of generate a little bit of interest, is when prices go bonkers in other areas and you just can't afford it anymore. So you kind of take a step back and, well, I'll fill in this area instead.
Yeah, I'd say 90% of them are affordable easily. So,
well, that's another thing, is the stamps are affordable. The covers, with them properly used on cover, is incredibly difficult to find and extremely expensive.
That's what my next question was going to be.
You'll find the 1 center and the 2 center on some covers above 2 cents. You know, you're talking about 100 time multiples.
I see threes and fives, but you really don't see tens occasionally, but you never see 30s and 50s.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I was just going to ask, when you're out looking around yourself, what would you look for? So you want to actually find these used on cover and the higher values.
Well, if you're looking for the first design issue, you know, you'll find 1 centers on cover because somebody will pay a 2 cent rate and it'll be an extra ounce and it'll be a 3 cent. You'll find the extra 1 center on there, or you'll find an extra 2 center on there. But once you get past those, and those are rare, once you get past those, finding a 5 cent or a 10 cent.
Yeah, the large banknote size, yes, yeah, just, those are tough.
Oh, incredibly hard.
That sounds more like that's less in the realm of somebody making a mistake mailing something and somebody doing it on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see the instance of that being much, much rarer.
Now, larger post offices like New York did use more of these postage due stamps. And there's a particularly prevalent pre-cancel out there that most people don't realize it's a pre-cancel. It's called the New York String of Pearls. And it's usually struck in blue. And it's a circle with the letters NY centered over each other. And they're basically round pearls. And that's actually a pre-cancel. People don't realize that's a pre-cancel, but they pre-canceled the sheets to speed up the production processing of the mail in the post office.
So, Kaz, you said there's a good way to mess with a PayPal person by, what was it, emailing them an amount for a certain amount?
Oh, yeah. It costs like 35 cents to get a PayPal. So, you know, if you're ever short a nickel, PayPal my nickel. And their fees are more than the nickel.
Oh.
Could you see that being a thing with postage dues, mailing someone a check for a penny?
Well,
and then
I know, you know, you see
on, put it in a 2-pound box.
Yeah. You see on TV all the time where people want to pay their bills late so they don't put a stamp on it and stuff like that. And in the old days, like way back in the 70s, they'd deliver the stamp and charge a person postage due. Nowadays, you know, you just get it back because it goes through the scanner and zips it right back to you. But postage due back then, yeah, you could play around with it, let's say.
So what happens modernly then if you, because I was actually curious about this a couple days ago, I was thinking about it. Modernly, you send out an envelope with no return address and no stamp on it. What happens?
Well, here's my opinion from personal observation.
Okay.
If it doesn't hit about the 25-cent mark, they just send it through.
Huh.
So, you know, there are things that I sent through that I should have had the non-machinable, or I'm a tenth of an ounce over, or stuff like that. And it always goes through for 49 cents. And I don't think the post, I think that it costs more for the post office to get that extra 15 cents than the 15 cents is worth.
Right, right.
Interesting.
I've seen letters that I mail out go through at, you know, 1.1, 1.2 ounces. But at 1.3 ounces, they come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And cute. Sometimes the 1.2s come back. But some, you got to be careful, though, because sometimes adding the postage after you've weighed it ups it.
Yes, yes.
I was just going to ask, has that ever been a problem, too?
Although, well, the one, and we went over this a couple episodes ago when we were talking about insurance.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing that I saw here at PSE, we got back an item that we had insured for $5,000, and it was $24.99. And we got a little postage due stamp, you know, a little hand stamp, and it said, owes $34.90. And we're sitting there going, hey, I have no clue. That's all the postage. I mean, so you didn't recognize anything. Then, you know, we figured out that, you know, it was because of the change in the insurance rates to insane levels. But that's the last real postage due thing I've seen.
That incident actually inspired this topic today. So thank you, USPS, for postal middle finger.
As you said, or as your question, you know, what happens when you send a letter postage due and there's no return address?
Mm-hmm.
They'll still deliver it and try to collect the postage due.
Oh, okay.
Or it goes to the
letter office if they can't deliver it.
Yep. And the dead letter
dead
office.
Letter but they office. Will try to deliver it first and collect from the recipient.
I was going to say the recipient rejects it anyway, then it could end up there. Okay.
Well, I know in the old days, dead letter office used to, you know, they'd get quite a few things. They'd open it up and they'd try to identify the person. I have not seen anything come out of the dead letter office for a long time, but this is a while ago, maybe 15 years ago. I got something back in one of the post office body bags that had dead letter office written on it. And they had opened up the item and gotten the return address off a check or something that I had in it and returned it to
me. Cool.
I did about 10 years ago. I had one where I mailed a bill payment and I stuck my check in backwards and it covered the delivery address, and it didn't have my return address on it. So it went to the dead letter office. They opened it, saw the check. They photocopied the check, sent me a letter with the photocopy, destroyed my check and my bill payment, and said, "We received this.
You
might want to go and pay your bill again."
Now that they've opened it and can see the correct address, they still sent it back to you?
No, they actually photocopied it, prepared a new letter, sent that to me, and destroyed the original.
So why couldn't they just send it on once they'd opened it and fixed it?
I don't know.
They didn't like the way he...
So not only did I miss my bill payment...
That was their revenge.
Yeah.
We'll show you.
Exactly.
So are there any problems collectors should look for with these?
Yeah, does anything happen like reperfs or fakes or anything?
Yeah, same thing.
Reperfs, regums, repairs... Remove cancels. A lot of them...
Now, some of the older 50... a lot of times on the 50-cent stamp, you'll see, like we talked about, they're canceled but not used, not stuck down to anything. And a lot of... sometimes they were canceled with blue crayon marks.
Mm-hmm.
And those blue crayon marks are sometimes not too difficult to remove.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're buying a unused 50-cent stamp from the 30s or 40s, you have to be really sure. It's a good idea to get a certificate to make sure that it's not used, because it needs to be checked for removed blue crayons.
And actually, any unused postage due of significant value, and again, I draw the line at $300, you
should
really
have a certificate.
You should have a certificate, because these things were put on things and people didn't care about canceling them.
That's true.
So they'd soak them off, put gum on it, and go, hey, here, mint. Mint no gu- or mint never hinged.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, yeah.
So are any of them commonly misidentified?
The vermilions, yeah.
All the time. The watermarks can sometimes be confusing. And obviously with reperforation, you can kind of change things. Although generally the stamps aren't big enough to convincingly change more than one side.
Reperfing to try to change the Scott number is probably not going to be accomplished. The colors are all over the place.
Colors are definitely can be a problem to identify.
And some of them have significant values.
Yes.
So.
Okay, well, this is a good topic. So can we get a drum roll for the opening of our sheet, please?
Here it
Fulfillment Center, right?
Yeah.
Sealed.
We have a 50% more chance of finding one.
That's like nothing to... Oh, wouldn't it be great if it was on film that it was
made? Oh, my gosh.
$12 postage.
Oh!
Next time. You can email us at stampshowheretoday@gmail.com, Twitter at stampshowht, Facebook stampshowheretoday, and our website www.stampshowheretoday.com with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions and comments on our Google Voice answering machine anytime, country code 1-949-873-4298. There's also a link to a Google Voice on our website so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting. Run a wave, everybody.
Bye.
Special thanks to Calvin for
holding the camera.
Yes.
He's our camera guy. Watch his YouTube channel. What was it again?
Crosswalk Cal.
That's it.
If you like video games.
Oh, yes.
This is Michael Bloom from the APS Stamp Buddy Service Committee, welcoming you to Stamp Show Here Today.
Hi, this is Stephen Patil, also known as Stamp Show Steve. I'm sitting here in the offices of PSE, Professional Stamp Experts, and I'd like to say hi and welcome you all to come to the various stamp shows once a month in Glendale, Van Nuys, and Anaheim. You can find all these dates, locations, and maps at stampshowsteve.com, and come in if you have stamps for authentication purposes or grading purposes. Seek out myself or the table that represents PSE Professional Stamp Experts.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, the book that teaches you about reperfs, regums, color varieties, and much more. Get yours for $10 at www.philatelicsecrets.com today. Return to sender.